are learning Megillah and Esther. We just finished last week discussing the end of the second parak, why the various reasons that Esther may or may not have, it seems like she did not, reveal her identity that she is Jewish. We saw the Manos HaLevi of Shlomo Alkabetz actually bring two different opinions, either that would make her less desirable or more desirable, depending on how you do the math. The Kisser, she even, and we saw Shlomo Alkabetz actually show, take on the Akedah of Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Arama, who said, no, Achashverosh knew she was Jewish. She just didn't know what Mishpacha. Fascinating. Rav Shlomo Alkabetz had to deal with all those riots to say, no. He didn't know she was Jewish, and he has to deal with all of those details thereafter. So we also already mentioned a number of times ago, but now it's chronologically in place, the end of the second parak of the Megillah, where there is an assassination plot against Achashverosh, Bigthan and Teresh, try to kill Achashverosh. Mordechai finds out, reveals it to the king, and saves Achashverosh's life. We point out from a political perspective, we understand why there might have been an assassination plot, given the tension, the political tension in Shushan at the time, between, I argued, based on the Malbim, the Bavlim versus the Persians, that the Bavlim were still, and the reactionaries wanted the old guard, and they were represented by Vashti in the palace. She was the daughter of Belshazzar, and right, of Belshazzar, the last of the Babylonian kings. And so, okay, but and then she left, and we're talking many years later. But now Achashverosh chose this nobody, that nobody even knows what family she's from. Whether they knew she was Jewish, they didn't know she was Jewish. Again, the Machlokes Manos HaLevi and the Akedah Yitzchak there. But this someone who no one knows who she is, and you chose her instead of our princess, that's terrible. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. Yeah. And so Bigthan and Teresh tried this assassination plot to try to kill Achashverosh, which... Also, okay, so now... So now Mordechai hears it, Mordechai tells him, we pointed out Mordechai would have a lot of incentive not to tell him. Mordechai would have been, or depending on your politics, Mordechai would have, maybe he's not the biggest Ahasuerus fan, Ahasuerus again being the one who stopped the building of the Beit HaMikdash, as per the description in Sefer Ezra. So maybe if he was gone, so it would be better. Could also be worse. Okay, you have to figure it out. But Mordechai certainly has no incentive to protect Ahasuerus' life, and yet he does, because it's the right thing to do. And all, so my takeaway from that is, what does Achashverosh know about Mordechai now? He only knows one thing. He doesn't know his relationship to Esther. He just knows he's a loyalist. This guy, this Jew, saved his life. Now, he's a Jew. Achashverosh hasn't been so great to the Jews. He stopped the building of the Beit HaMikdash. And yes, Mordechai saved his life. He's grateful to Mordechai. And that's a footnote in the story, but it comes back later. But that's, remember, all Achashverosh knows about Mordechai. Fine. The Megillah then moved on to the story of Haman. Achar hadvarim ha'ilah, so after all of this, Gidol ha-melech ha-shver says, Haman bet hamdasa ha-agagi v'yinasa'ehu v'yasem et kitso me'al kol ha-sarim ha-sherito. It's on page 1. It says 4 at the top, but it's page 1 of our packet. He promotes Haman, okay, Gidol, v'yinasa'ehu, from the word, from lasait, to raise up, v'yasem et kitso me'al kol ha-sarim ha-sherito. This is a serious promotion. He gives him the highest rank. Now all the ministers bow down to Haman, because that's what the king commanded. We'll have to figure out what does that phrase mean exactly. Mordechai refuses. So before we get to the Mordechai refusing and the bowing part, let's talk about what exactly is going on. Why is he, could we figure out why he is exactly promoting Haman? Now, the Gemara, maybe money, okay. So the Gemara on Megillah, Yud Beis Amud Beis, on the next page, points out that we know who this character Haman is. Now, this part of the Gemara is darshaning all the psukim, and giving lots of opinions on all the psukim, what is going on. So this Gemara is actually discussing the first perek, when Achashverosh, when Vashti refuses to come to the party, and Achashverosh consults with his advisors. And the Gemara says, oh, these aren't just regular advisors. Karshna, Shetar, Admata, Tarshish, they're all symbolic meanings. Every name there is meaningful. You can see the Gemara. The most famous line here, perhaps, or the one that I want to focus on at least, but we'll call it famous for that reason. It says, Vayomer, so after he consults with the advisors what to do, Vashti refuses. So Memuchan comes up with this suggestion that we need to get rid of Vashti. We need to get rid of Vashti because all this terrible thing will happen if the women start to hear what Vashti did. And we talked about how, at least in my opinion, it's overplayed. The whole, oh my gosh, all the women are going to revolt. There's going to be this feminist revolution. That doesn't seem likely in ancient Persia. It seems like he's overplaying the hand because he needs to punish Vashti, and he can't be because she refused, because that's giving her too much power. She'll go down as a martyr, so he's giving an excuse. So the Gemara here just points out that Memuchan is humbug. It just says, Vayomer Memuchan, the Gemara somewhere about two-thirds of the way down, Tana Memuchan to Haman. Memuchan was Haman in the first parak. Vilama Nikras Memuchan. Why is he called Memuchan? Shemuchan Leperanus. He's ready to cause trouble. Okay? Clever. Amar of Kahana, Mikan Shahed Yod Kofet Barosh. Right? So you see from there that a head yod, someone who's a fool, jumps ahead. So if you take a look, here's the first parak on the next page, on page 3. And if you take a look on the bottom, on the Pasuk Yud Gimel, so this is after Vashti refuses. He tells his advisors, "Vakarovi lav, who are they? Karshna sheitzar admas tarshish meres marzna memuchan shivasari parasu madad." The last one on the list is Memuchan. So the Gemara says, "Ah, Memuchan, why do you have a list? You have a list. You go from the most important to the least important. Memuchan jumped ahead. He's the low. He's the lowest, and yet he comes with the idea. So you see that he is kofet verosh, and he had this tendency that is not this bad midah.
Why does he have two names?
So, okay, why does he have two names? Good question. I don't know. Why did Chazal identify him as Haman, though? Meaning, okay, there's a tradition. It's the same person. They have a Mesorah. They were there. I mean, Mordechai was there. He had two names. Okay. I don't know why. And Haman, maybe, I mean, the eighth, the Gemara talks about, we'll have to get there. But why did Chazal then say it's the same person? The Megillah clearly is hiding the fact that it's the same person. If the Megillah wants to say it's the same person, they would call him Haman. Or the Megillah called Haman later Memuchan. Why do they assume it's the same person? Where does that come from? So I'm going to suggest the following. Now, when the Gemara introduces it, Acharat Vayim Ha'ele, Gidal HaMelech Achashverosh says Haman ben Amdasa Agagi. Right? Achashverosh promoted this guy, Haman. We're given no details on who he is. It's almost as if we know who he is. Okay? So let's assume he's a character that was introduced in the Megillah previously. Because the Gemara introduces him, oh, you know, this guy Haman, we just promoted him. So who could he be? Meaning there are only paragimel, so there's not so many options. It's not Achashverosh, it's not Mordechai. What other characters do we know? So in the previous parak, we were introduced to two of the king's servants, Haggai and Shashgaz, the guards of the women and the guards of the Pilagshim. There's no reason to think it's them. They don't really play any role in the rest of the story. They don't really play such a big role. Haggai, admittedly, in the end, does some shuttling back and forth between Esther and Mordechai. Okay, fine. But up until now, they don't play a role. So it sounds like, who could it be? Well, it could be, if you take a look, well, there were two groups of people who were introduced at the beginning of the Megillah, because they were the first group that Achashverosh sent to go bring Vashti. Then she refuses. And then he consults with the second group of advisors. He consults with the second group of advisors and say, okay, we got to get rid of Vashti now. So if you take a look, so this, we just read about the second group in Pasuk Yud Gimel. And if you look in Pasuk Yud, so okay, Mehuman Bista Harbona Bigta Bavakta Seita Rekarkas. Another group of seven. It sounds like, okay, it's one of those 14. So if you had to guess who it's going to be, none of them play any role in the Megillah except for Memuchan. Memuchan's the only one who plays any role previously in the Megillah. He's the only one who says anything. So if the Megillah is trying to say, hey, the one we already know, the others we've just mentioned by name. We know they exist. They don't do anything. Memuchan is the only one who's active. So if the Megillah is saying we promote, Achashverosh is promoting someone who we know about, it sounds like it should be, at the very least, Memuchan. Now, I think there's a lot more meaning behind it. I think it's true. I think that's the motivation of Chazal. But I think there was more to it as well. Why would he promote him? Well, think what Memuchan accomplished for him. Achashverosh was in this political pickle. He was trying to deal with Vashti. He's trying to figure out what to do. He doesn't know, because remember, Vashti is representing the Babylonian Empire. And he needs to be able to put her in her place without saying, I'm putting her in her place, because then he's giving her too much power. And Memuchan comes up with this very, very clever way of being able to get rid of Vashti, and yet not supporting the Babylonian cause, showing that he's powerful. It's Memuchan's idea. It works out really well. It's great. So he's grateful to Memuchan. And now, what do we know? The Megillah introduces Paragimel with Achar Advarim Ha'ele. The end of Perek Beis was an assassination attempt on Achashverosh's life. Achar Advarim Ha'ele means presumably at least, think about the very last pasuk you just read. There's an assassination attempt on Ahasuerus' life. Ahasuerus realizes that this political situation is getting a little bit tense. People are trying to kill him in his own palace. In his own palace. If you're the king now, you need to figure out who your allies are really, 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 really quickly. You need to form alliances. You need to promote those people who need to be promoted and get rid of the people who need to be gotten rid of. And so if Memuchan is one of your loyalists, you know, you can trust Memuchan, you like him, so then now is the perfect opportunity to be Megadel and be Menasseh him. Now is you need strong people on the inside who are loyalists. You know Memuchan's a loyalist, he came up with this great idea, it worked out really well, and that put the Babylonians in their place. And so it makes sense that it's the same idea, that there's a reason that Ahasuerus was the Megadel, was being promoting Memuchan, because he's grateful to him, particularly after the assassination attempt. So I think, just from a Svara reason, there's a good reason that Ahasuerus promotes Haman.
Was the Babylonian Empire at the time in the decline?
Right? Yeah, I mean, because yeah, the Persians took over.
But no longer.
But the people still exist. The people are still there. They have no empire, but you still have the people you got to deal with. You still have to deal with the people. But I think there's also something a little bit more clever, and I think Chazal had all of this in mind. If you take a look, if you go back to page 1, it doesn't just say that Ahasuerus promoted. It doesn't say just that Gidal HaMelech Ahasuerus is Haman. It gets very descriptive, right? Acharei Dvarim Eleh Gidal HaMelech Ahasuerus is Haman v'damdasa Agagi v'yenasa Ehu. Right? And he promotes him. Gidal, he raised him up and promoted him. He puts his chair, his rank, the highest rank. If you take a look, in Perek Aleph, when they're introduced, the two sets of advisors. If you look in Perek Aleph, on page 3, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, right? It says, Vayomer melech hachamim yodeh ha'isim. Yodeh ha'isim, kikei dvar melech yifei kol yedat vadin. Vakara v'ilav karshan ha'shidarad masas tarshish merish marasana memuchan. Those 7 people. Shivat sarei parasu madai. The pasuk continues. Roei pnei hamelech. Hayoshvim rishona b'malchus. They're the advisors, right? But the Megillah is very meduyak. The Megillah describes them as what? Yoshvim rishona b'malchus. They're the ones who are the highest rank. But cabinet. But literally, Yoshvim rishona b'malchus. They're the ones who are sitting in the front row. When he promotes Haman, Vayasem et kiso me'al kol hasarim asher ito, he puts his chair in front of everybody else's chair. The only people who we know are described as sitting are these 7 people. He's the last person on the list. Now, Vayasem et kiso me'al kol hasarim asher ito, Chazal saw that specifically on purpose, Mordechai put it in there, right? When Haman's promoted, it's Vayasem et kiso. He could have used any imagery you wanted. It doesn't have to be a chair. Vayasem oto me'al kol hasarim asher ito. He put him in front of everybody else. I think vayasem et kiso, his seat, is directly a reference to Perek Aleph. These are the yoshvim rishona b'malchus. These are the people that are sitting. They're the ones sitting. And therefore, it makes sense that vayasem et kiso me'al kol hasarim asher ito, that one who is sitting. So he put his chair in front of the other people who we know are sitting. So I think Chazal saw there's a reason to be promoting Haman, because Ahasuerus needs loyalists right after the assassination attempt. There's a linguistic reason to assume that it's Haman. And there's also, I think, there's something that's similar between the characteristic of that which defines, that which Memuchan does and that which Haman does. We're assuming they're the same person, but the Megillah describes them differently. So Memuchan in Perek Aleph tells Ahasuerus, look, Vashti did something so terrible. And if it gets out there, oh my gosh, what are the women going to do? And it's going to blow the whole thing out of proportion. Now, I argue that he's blowing it out of proportion to provide cover, right? You can't just say, Vashti, I can't believe you refused. I need to put you in your place because I'm going to boost the Babylonian base. But he blows the whole story out of proportion. There's going to be a feminist revolution. Oh my God, what are the women going to do? Fine. Haman, a little bit later, we haven't seen this yet. So Mordechai refuses to bow to him. Okay, you don't like it. Kill Mordechai. But you don't like Mordechai, get rid of Mordechai. Oh my God, he blows the whole thing out of proportion. But yeah, he's got to kill all the Jewish people. All the Jewish people have to go. This is not a good, it might spread out the ears and say why, but what did Mordechai do? What did the Jewish people do? Mordechai, I understand, get rid of Mordechai. One person does something, and he blows the whole thing out of proportion to blame a whole group of people. It's very, very, very similar to what the Megillah describes Memuchan is doing. One person did something, Vashti, and he's blowing it out of proportion. All the women will do X. So too Haman, Mordechai does something. We may disagree with what he did. But he blows the whole thing out of proportion. This is what all the Jews will be like. And it's very, very similar, both stylistically as well. So I think Chazal saw all of this. They saw there was a reason to promote Haman. They saw the linguistic kiso and hayoshvim. And they saw that from a style perspective, they seem to have the same personality. They're blowing things out of proportion. And so Memuchan is Haman. I don't have a good answer why the Megillah calls him once Memuchan and once Haman. If it's really the same person, keep it. Now, okay, they want to not do it, or maybe Haman later, he has a change of heart, maybe he's worse, maybe he's something. There's a lot of midrashim that, meaning, when according to this presentation, so Memuchan is just a guy in the kingdom who's moving up in the ranks. The midrashim give a whole, there are different midrashim, mutually exclusive midrashim, they give a whole history that really Mordechai and Haman have a history that goes back, maybe it goes back, maybe it doesn't go back, so that doesn't really fit in. If you take that history that Haman goes all the way back, so then it's very, I would find it harder to argue, so why change his name? If he was Haman, he was a terrible, horrible person all the time, so why change his name? If you want to tell me, look, he became worse, so when he became worse, we gave him a new name. Yeah?
It's not uncommon to have a name that is not his, like, given name, but is a descriptive name. So over there, he's Memuchan, he's ready to move up, and over here, he's named by name.
So that could be, so, right, so that, so I would argue that that makes sense if he's this nobody, and he was a priest, he was an advisor, and now he's promoted, so he's taking on his own name or a different name. But if you take the Midrashim that the history of Haman and Mordechai goes all the way back, you have to say it was Haman, then it switched to Memuchan, or no, maybe in the kingdom he only used, okay, you have to come up with some reason.
He was a barber,
so. Right, so, okay, if you, I, you have to come up with a reason. Right, the Midrashim say he was a slave and Mordechai owned him, okay, the different Midrashim.
You have to present
himself to Oh, so he's saying to give him a different name. Okay.
Esther has a different name.
Also, Hadassah, he asked there, which was her name? Okay, which was her name? Esther or Hadassah?
Yeah, and also Yosef got a new name.
Right, Yosef gets a new name and gets appointed. So, so the point, though, is you could say like this. You could say that, like, similar to Yosef, similar to Esther, when you get promoted, you get a new name.
Yeah.
And so Haman wasn't his name. But he got the name Haman when he got the promotion. Okay, I think there's what to say. Fine, you could say he got the new name when he got the promotion. He got the name at the promotion. What does his wife call him? Okay, yeah. She doesn't have such nice things to say to him. We actually know his wife, Zeresh. I actually think that the heroine of the Megillah is Zeresh. But we'll get to that. I was debating, this is all based on the Sefer that I wrote. I'm waiting to see if it will be published. But I was debating calling it something about Zeresh, but I thought that would turn people off. Because I think Zeresh is one of the few people in the Megillah who actually gets the point. We'll get there. We're going to get to the end. But Zeresh gets the... She recognizes the Yad Hashem in the story very explicitly. She, like, sees what's going on. More so than I think any other character actually says it. I believe that Mordechai and Esther appreciate it, and you can see it through their actions. But the words are put into Zeresh's mouth. Now, why... Fascinating question. Maybe Zeresh is a foil. So Esther, okay, we're in Paragimel. We'll get to the air after. So okay, Achashverosh raises up Haman, and he is now promoted. And now it's interesting, when the Megillah, going back to page one, when the Megillah says, everybody bows down to Haman. Because the king said so. I would have said, if I was writing it, the king commanded that everybody should bow down to Haman. Said, no, everybody bow down to Haman, he's saying, Siva lo Hamel. Because that's what the king commanded. That's what the king commanded what? Why would, if you were the king, would you command people to bow down to your advisor? That just seems strange. That's a little bit odd. Why would you do that? Bow down to me, I'm the king. Why would I? So this led some mefarshim to say, ki kein siva lo Hamelech, you can do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. You have permission to do whatever you want. Now why would you do that? If you're the king, because you want to give Haman, I mean, you want to buy his loyalty. So give him the ability to make stupid rules. What, do you really care if they bow down? They do a high five. They do jumping jacks every time they see him. If that's what gets Haman excited, so fine. Haman feels powerful. Ahasuerus needs Haman to feel powerful. Because if Haman feels powerful, and it's because of Ahasuerus, so he'll be grateful to Ahasuerus. Something stupid. So they'll bow down to Haman. No, they'll bow down to Haman. Good. Fine. But it's, that's what, so the Manas Halevi actually writes, Ki kein tziva lo hamelech, not ki kein tziva, it should have been, if it was Ahasuerus who commanded that everybody bow down, it should have been, v'chol avdei hamelech asher b'sar hamelech korim mishtachvim l'haman, ki kein tziva lohem hamelech. The king commanded them to bow down. You didn't command lo to him to bow down. That doesn't make sense. What do you mean ki kein tziva lo hamelech? You have to say this is part of the promotion that the king commanded. It's just a funny way to talk. So the Manos HaLevi says no. He gave him discretion to sort of like make his own prestige and pomp and circumstance. Which maybe also led Chazal to say, you know, because you don't see this, it's not in Megillah at all, but we all know the story that Haman had this Avodah Zarah in his coat, right? And that's why Mordechai didn't want to bow down. Now, there's no hint to that in the Megillah. There's no hint to that in the Megillah at all. In fact, you read the Megillah and Haman makes no religious statements whatsoever. But Mordechai refuses. And on the face of it, if you want to tell me that there was Avodah Zarah in his jacket, and Mordechai didn't want to bow down because of Avodah Zarah, now I'm going to go over. I apologize, Rabbi. I'll be done in 2 minutes. I'll leave it on the question. You want to tell me Mordechai didn't want to bow down because Haman had a Avodah Zarah in his jacket? Wouldn't you write that? Wouldn't you write that? Wouldn't you want it to be in the Megillah? Mordechai stood up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and refused to bow down to the Avodah Zarah despite the fact that Ahasuerus commanded it. Mordechai stood up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an inspiring story. He did the right thing, and maybe he was the only one who did the right thing, and it's a big deal. I would have included it if I was more, maybe, so you say Mordechai didn't want to write about himself. I don't know, but this is an inspiring thing. This is a lesson. We know from Sefer Daniel that we saw already, when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah didn't want to bow down to the Tzelem, so it's written, and we're supposed to learn from it. They were thrown into a Kibshon Ha'ish because of it, and Hashem saved them. You'd think that, oh, you see the same stories happening again. It happened with Nebuchadnezzar. It happened with Ahasuerus. You have to bow down, and the Jews in charge don't do it. I would have included it. The Megillah doesn't mention anything about this. So why doesn't Mordechai refuse? Why does he refuse to bow down? What's the big deal? And so there was another medrash that says, no. There was no Avodah Zarah, but Haman thought of himself as God. Okay, it's hard to imagine how he got away with that, given that he was second in command to Ahasuerus. But Ahasuerus is above him, meaning every doctor thinks they're at the top. You can't actually acknowledge that there's a king above you. But okay, but there's a machlokas Abaye and Rav in the Gemara if that's mutter or not. Are you allowed to bow down to Ahasuerus? The Gemara seems to say it wouldn't be a big deal. It would have been mutter. It would have been allowed to bow down to Ahasuerus, to Haman, because you're not doing it for Avodah Zarah reasons. You're doing it because the king commanded you that that's part of the protocol. The Gemara says explicitly, we pass it, it should be mutter. Why would Mordechai refuse? And why does the Megillah not tell us? The Megillah doesn't tell us, and this refusal actually brings about the death of the Jews. It's a big deal. It's a big decision that he makes with a lot of consequences. Bezras Hashem, we'll be able to start seeing it next week.